This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage from Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Take a Bible and open to there. We're going to be starting in verse 12 today. This is right after the golden calf. This is right after the golden calf. And right before where I'm starting, God tells Moses, I will send someone with you, but I will not go with you because they're a bunch of stiff-necked people. And if I go with them, I will kill them. Those are the words right before this passage. Not that you know any stiff-necked people, I don't think. Starting in verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see it and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Throughout all of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, there is a very clear understanding that if you see God, that you will die. If you see God, you will die. And this understanding comes from the fact that we realize that we are sinners. And to be a sinner and to stand in God's presence is more than we can handle. The glory of God would overwhelm us. But you see, Moses, who has met with God often, needs to know that God will be present with him. He needs to know that. He needs to know that wherever he goes, that God will be with him. Now, on the other side of the resurrection, on this side of the resurrection, I should say, we know that the Holy Spirit inhabits us and is within us once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you're missing out. Don't sign the Holy Spirit off to some other denomination because of what they talk about and how they do things. The Holy Spirit comes into midst of every Christian. leading, guiding, inspiring, uplifting, encouraging, convicting, all of that is the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you remember some of the old Warner Brothers cartoons with a little angel on this shoulder and a little devil on this shoulder. Okay? Sometimes I think that that little angel is the Holy Spirit. That's speaking to you, that's talking to you, that's encouraging you. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but I think the little devil on the other shoulder is the very roots of your heart. Because Jesus says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles them, it's what comes out of the heart. Okay? Don't ever say, well, I reacted that way because of what they did. They made me do it. No, it was already in here. It was already in here. Just because somebody else did something, they didn't make you do something bad. It was already a part of you. And instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, you listen to what yourself wanted. And see, it's this dynamic that we know as Christians, the Holy Spirit encouraging us, leading us, guiding us, helping us, giving us understanding of Scripture. Go back to Moses' time. The Holy Spirit had not come yet. And Moses wanted to know, God, I want you to know, I want to know that you are going to be present with me wherever I go. I want to know that, and I want to know it well. And this is what Moses is asking for. He says, God, you told me that somebody's going to go with me. You told me that somebody's going to help me and lead me, but you haven't said who yet. And Moses says, I want to know that it's you. I want to know, and in case you missed the little dig that he kind of give Moses gives to God, at the end of verse 13, he kind of gives him a little dig. Because previous to this, God has said, I can't go with you and those stiff-necked people. Listen to what Moses says. He says, remember that this nation is your people. He's saying, God, don't forget that. He's reminding God. Now, I know some of us would say, why do I have to remind God? But Moses is. And he's saying, by the way, you said they're a bunch of stiff-necked people. Just remember, Lord, they're yours. You're the one that's formed this nation. You're the one that's brought. And we need to know your presence as we go forward. We need to know that. You see, more than anything, Moses wants to know God in the deepest way possible. More than anything. My greatest desire as I live here on earth is to know God so deeply, so richly, so much that when I get to heaven, there's no surprise. None. That's how much I want to know God. Will that happen? Most likely not, because of my impure self. But is not God bringing all that to me? Yes, because 100% of God lives within me because the Holy Spirit comes to live with me. It's all there. And God wants to bring that all to us. And Moses is just saying, I want to know you in the deepest way possible. The very deepest way possible. Is that a desire and an earning within you? Do you have that desire that I want to know God more than anything else in this world? Now, I ask this in the midst of sports seasons. Baseball's wrapping up. Football's getting in gear. NASCAR's going to be wrapping up here shortly. And I know that there are some fans and fanatics of all those things. Somebody asked me the other day, it was last Monday, They looked at me and said, didn't Virginia Tech's quarterback do wonderful on Saturday? I said, I don't know. Didn't watch the game. I was wearing my Hokies jacket, by the way. And they kind of looked at me like, you didn't watch the game? I said, no. Gotten to the place in my life where I don't watch sports anymore. And this other person looked at me like, how strange you are as a man. You don't watch sports? And after a little while, they looked at me again and they said, how come you don't watch sports? And I said, well, I learned a long time ago that whether I watch the game or don't watch the game, the score is still the same. Doesn't matter. Score is still the same. I learned that through NASCAR. I could tell them exactly how they needed to adjust that car when they came into the pit and what they needed to do to make that car more drivable for that driver. And they never listened to me. Whether I yell at the TV screen or not, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I told this person, I said, I have other things I'd like to do in my life than just sit around and watch sports all day. Because there's some things I want to happen in my life. There's some things I want to accomplish. There's some things I want to do. Now, as I say that, most of you ladies are going, hey, that's exciting. Oh, I get home, I can't wait to tell him. I just don't know the ins and outs of all the women's hobbies so that I can pick on you too. But what I'm asking you to think about is your deepest desire to know God in the deepest way possible. Is that your deepest desire? There's nothing wrong with watching a sports game. There is something wrong. When I first got married, Deanne never did understand me in this respect. I had two TVs with two different baseball games and a third one on the radio. And she walked in and she said, how are you paying attention to all this? And I said, it's such and such here, such and such here, and it's such and such here. And she said, how do you do that? I said, just pay attention. Three different games, and I could tell you exactly what was going on in every game. That's a valuable trait, isn't it? Am I applying that to learning God? Am I using that to get to know God in the deepest way possible? Because I have a sad thing to tell you. Our relationship with God is one of the few things we're going to carry to heaven. Not our relationship with the TV. I don't know, I'll check my Bible, but I don't think there's going to be TVs in heaven. I'll look and see and let you know. When we get to heaven, it's about our relationship with other people and it's about our relationship with God. Why not get a big jump start on your relationship with God now? Because for all eternity, that's what it's going to be about. I also like to tell people, sometimes people tell me, Pastor, oh, we went too long today. You need to learn how to stop sooner. And you know what my response always is? I'm glad that heaven doesn't last for 1 hour. Heaven's not going to last for 1 hour only, and then you run off and do whatever you want to do. Amen to that? What a wonderful thing that is. Now, as Moses desires this and asks God for this and says, God, I want so much to know you in the deepest possible way, I want you to realize something. God's concerned for Moses and desires a deeper relationship, but also wants to take care of Moses. God realizes that the fullness of the glory of God, if it were witnessed by Moses, it would do him harm. God wants that deeper relationship with Moses. God wants to know that more. God wants to interact more with Moses. But God also understands that the complete fullness of God would be detrimental to Moses, because it would just overwhelm him so much. Think about this for a minute. Sometimes when we don't have enough light, it's kind of hard to see things, isn't it? When it's dark, and as I'm getting older now, I need brighter lights when I read and when I do different things. When the light is the brightest possible, it's also blinding. Right? If you don't believe me, I think the clouds are still out. It looks like that. But tomorrow, when the clouds aren't here, look up at the sun and look straight at the sun and tell me that's not blinding. Okay, don't do that. Bad advice. It would be blinding to Moses to see the complete fullness of God. And God says, I want to take care of you. I want to make sure that it's not too much for you. So he says, Moses, go up and stand on the mountain. And there's a cleft right there. And what I'm going to do is I walk up, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to push you back into that cleft so that as I walk by, it's not too much for you. You see, God wants a deeper relationship with us. But God cares about us. And God doesn't reveal everything all at once. And I'm glad that God doesn't, because that would be so overwhelming, wouldn't it? If 25 years ago God revealed to me this is the place I would be on this day preaching about this, knowing where I was at that point in my life, I'm not so sure I'd have been able to do it. God cares. God has compassion. And God reveals over time, little by little, another piece, another bit of understanding, a little bit more. And that's why it takes time. It's not something all at once. It's not that you're going to sit down and just read a book and get it all. You see, God does reveal more and allows Moses to see more. God does reveal more and allow Moses. And as your desire grows to see God more, God will show more. God will reveal more. Now, part of me believes that the fullness was already there. But maybe in some way God has God's hand over us to protect us a little bit. And then maybe after a little bit, God kind of spreads his fingers apart a little bit so we can peek between them. Before God removes God's hand so that we can see more fully, more completely. Doesn't Paul talk about this in that great love wedding chapter? By the way, that's not a wedding scripture. I hope you realize that. Corinthians chapter 13, you go to weddings and you get to hear it all the time, don't you? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is... It's really a chapter about God saying, I want to reveal more to you. Because at the end of that chapter, what does Paul say? I know in part and I see in part. I prophesy in part. But there will come a day when I will know in full. That really relates to this. I will know in full. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a wonderful scripture to use at a wedding. It is a wonderful scripture to use at a wedding. But I want you to understand there's so much more to that. Don't just put that one up on the shelf for a wedding. Go and look at it. Go and spend some time with it. Because really, it's a discussion about spiritual gifts. And Paul says, let me show you a more excellent way than spiritual gifts. And that's love. And then we will know more fully. God wants to continue to reveal. God can, but we've got to present ourselves for that. We've got to come to God for that and be open for that. You know, we should ask for the same thing that Moses asked for. And when we ask, we should be prepared for a deeper relationship with God. If you come to God and say, God, I want to know you more, be prepared. Because God wants to answer that prayer. God does want to answer that prayer. Be prepared for a deeper relationship with God. That means you're going to spend more time with God. That means you're going to spend more time focused on God. Is that not what Moses was asking for? God, if you want me to go as leader, I need to know that you're right there present. I need to understand that you're there guiding, directing, inspiring, encouraging me. I need to know that. Okay, I was just being confessional in case you didn't notice. Because if I'm going to be your pastor, I need to know God's care, concern, love, peace, comfort. I need to know all that stuff. And I need to know that God is present as we step forward. Because part of me says, if God's not present as we step forward, then guess what? We're only doing what we've designed. And many churches do that. Many churches design a program that they believe will be pleasing to God, and then they pray, asking God to bless the program so that, God, you'll be pleased with what we've done. Why not turn that around and say, God, I want to know you more, and I want to know where you're going. And I want to be present with you, God. And God, I want to know that you're present with me because that's where you're working right now. And I want to know you in a deeper way. Can you pray that prayer? Can you pray the prayer asking, God, I want to know your presence? Because I'm telling you, if you're going to pray that, you better be prepared. Because God will honor that prayer and will answer that prayer. No doubt. God will say, here I come. Let's sit down and talk. I wonder, do you have time to sit down and talk? God might say. As the world says many times, don't just stand there, do something, right? Isn't that what people will say sometime? Especially what you want to say to the VDOT workers. I'm sorry if there's any VDOT workers in here. Don't just stand there, do something. Isn't that what you want to say to them when you see six of them standing around watching one of them doing the work? I think God's calling out to you right now saying this. Don't do something, just stand still so I can love you. Don't do something. Stop. Stand still a minute. Let me love you. Let me have a deeper relationship with you. Just stop. By the way, in Scripture and everywhere else, we're called human beings, aren't we? Not human doings. And for some people, it's all about all that I can do. Can you just be for a moment and know God's presence? Is your desire to know God most intimately? Is your desire to know God most intimately? Let's pray. Lord, it's tough in the midst of this world, and our world comes at such a fast pace. And it comes in such a way that sometimes we feel like we've got to witness every piece of it or we're not really living. Teach us that we might be able to slow down, that we might be able to pause, that we might be able to contemplate, that we might just know your presence. And that there might be some times that we only just work on that relationship with you. And make that our number one priority. Allowing you to come deeper within us, to bring us a deeper understanding, and to transform us and mold us into who you need us to be for your kingdom. Lord, help us to stop designing things to do and then ask for your blessing, but to come and seek a deeper relationship with you and live out of that blessing, that this world also might be transformed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.